chapter 12.
Sitting there praying and just kind of wrestling with the Lord, honestly. I have something on my heart that I would like to preach, but I feel like there's a message I have that as I was praying, when the preacher mentioned it to me, that I need to be obedient and preach. So that's what we'll do. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And let me preface it by saying this. Our country needs revival. I desire to see God move in a miraculous way. I've been reading and studying in Exodus and seeing how Moses, as he went up to Mount Sinai and he met with God, and he comes back down to find all the people have made this golden calf, and Aaron's there, and they're starting to worship this calf because Moses is gone. And he comes back down very angry, and God tells him, look, you can go on into the promised land after the people repent. But he tells them, my presence will not go with you. He said, you can go. I'm going to send an angel there. You will still be victorious. You're going to conquer the Canaanite, the Hivite. And he names all those nations. He says, you're going to conquer them. So it's going to look like seeming success. But my presence will not go with you. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to meet here. I do not want to live a day in my Christian life without the presence of Almighty God, close and near to me. And they repented. And they said, look, Moses said, no, Lord, I do not want to go into Canaan without you, without your presence. And he prayed and he interceded on behalf of them. He said, look, Lord, you can blot my name out of the book if you'll please just forgive your people. What a picture of an intercessor there. And that just makes me think of our country today, our young people, and just America today. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure out where we're at. America has definitely changed culturally. The evolution in millions of years thinking has indoctrinated young people and even adults today into thinking that really the authority of God's Word is not what it used to be. Can you really believe Genesis chapter 1, verse 1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Or is it just a myth, or is it just a book to go by with guidelines? We're in trouble in America. And I talk to some pastors, and it breaks my heart. I don't want to say anything negative towards them, but I hear some of them say that we can't have revival. The country's too far gone. There's no hope for revival. And that crushes me. Because if God has given us another day, His work is not done. Or else we would have the rapture of the church. But God has given another day. Another day to do His work. Another day that there's a chance, an opportunity for revival. For God's people to be stirred up. Beloved, I don't want to go through my Christian life dry. I don't want to come here on a Wednesday night, come to prayer meeting and be like, oh, I wish the prayer would hurry up and get done so I can go home. I don't want that. Moses, as he sat there, said, God, show me thy glory. Do you realize what Moses asked? He said, God, reveal yourself to me. Show me yourself. Isaiah saw the glory of God and he says, woe is me. I am undone. But Moses said, please, Lord, I do not want to go anywhere without your presence. God, please show me your glory. And what did God do? He said, Moses, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of a rock. You can't see my face, but I'm going to pass by you. And as I pass by, you're going to see my glory. And that is revival. And when we see the children of Israel repenting from this wicked sin that they had fallen into, the whole nation repents and says, no, God, we want your presence. We want your glory. And we see Moses burning inside with his desire for God. And I don't know about you, beloved, but I want that fire in my heart, that fire in my soul to be rekindled, to be stirred, not for activity, not for ministry, but for God, God Almighty, to know Him, to walk with Him. Think of what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, that I might know Him. Do you have that desire, that yearning to know God? Not just as white paper with black letters, not just as something we check off on Wednesday and Sunday morning, but as God Almighty who talks with you, who walks with you, who you are a friend with. Remember, Abraham was the friend of God. And I desire that, beloved. My heart is yearning and my heart is breaking for the emptiness sometimes I feel, the emotions that sometimes I go through in my Christian life. And I want more. I want more. I want more as we go out on visitation and as we share the gospel and it seemingly falls on deaf ears. And I have asked God time and time again over these last few months, what is wrong with me, Lord? Because I've had more opportunity in the last year to share clear presentations of the gospel than I've had in the last 7 years of going out soul winning. What is wrong with me? What is wrong? Why, Lord? And I keep asking Him that. And I want His power. I need to see Him to be revived in my heart and soul. Because I have nothing to set before this world. I have nothing. But I have prayer and I have Almighty God who can do all things. And I just preface the message today with that. And if you'll look with me in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we come to a portion of Scripture. And if I ask you today, who is your favorite Bible character? Many would say Paul. I mean, think of what all Paul did. Someone may say Moses. I mean, what a great man he was. Some may say Mary or Martha. I mean, think of the people in the Bible. But I would say my favorite character at one time in his life was a murderer. At one time in his life, he was an adulterer. He lied and deceived. David is probably my favorite Bible character throughout all Scripture. Even though he did a great sin. I mean, he murdered someone. But we still see his heart as we read through the Psalms. Crying out to God, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. He says, as that deer goes thirsty and desires that water, he says, God, I desire you. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy, he cries out. And though he was a murderer, and though he lied and sinned and committed this great adultery, the Bible would still sum up his life as a man after God's own heart. How did that come to be? He began strong. He fell midway through his life, but he didn't allow that fall to summarize his life. Solomon started great, but Solomon fell at the end of his life. And that's what we remember a lot about Solomon, is how his wives took him away. But something happened with David that changed him, that allows the Scriptures, though he went through this terrible time in his life, a year of unconfessed sin, the Bible is still able to sum up his life. And what I remember about David is not that grotesque sin, but that he is a man after God's own heart. And beloved, I don't know about you, but I desire to be a man, and I pray that you desire to be a woman and man after God's own heart. Walking with Him, talking with Him, not just something we do, the motions, not just something we read, but a living Word, a living God that we seek, that we worship, that we pray to. Oh God, reveal Your glory to me. Reveal Yourself to me this day. Look with me in 2 Samuel, beginning in verse 7. It says, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight, that thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon? Now therefore the sword shall never depart out from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. for thou didst secretly. But I will do this before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Will you turn with me, please, to Psalm 51? Psalm number 51, please, this morning. I don't know about you, but David needed a new beginning. And I don't know about you, but many times in my Christian life, I need a new beginning. And the great thing about the Christian life is it is a life of new beginnings. Think of what the blessing it is just to be able to sleep at night. You can have a horrible day, stressed out. Things just don't go right, and you can sleep, wake up the next morning, and it is brand new. That is a gift from God that we get to sleep and wake up new again in the morning. It is a new beginning. Every time you sleep and open your eyes, you have a new opportunity at life, a new beginning. You know, David's life and sin that he fell into, the adultery, the murder, the deceit. You know, we see what man can become left to his own, because he should have been in battle. He should have been working, doing what he was supposed to do. But David sat back. David relaxed. David was not where he should have been, and we see what happened as he fell. He looked, and he lusted, and he desired. And then he had to cover up what he's done. The king, the great king of Israel, now must hide this vicious act that he's done. And he goes, for best I can tell in the Word of God, for about a year. Nothing is ever said. Nobody in the whole kingdom knows what David has done. But David knows. Not only does David know, God knows. And God sends Nathan. And Nathan says, thou art the man, David. And David said, I have sinned against the Lord. And that brings us right into Psalm number 51. Psalm number 51 is David's heart cry out to God. He says in verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. You know why? Because it was gone. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Think of the conviction he was under during that year. The bones are broken. They're snapped. They're crushed. He said, I was under such weight. My joy was robbed. There was no life, no freedom in my Christian life. And he goes on in verse 10, to create in me a clean heart, O God. That means just like in Genesis, to create from nothing. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Think of Moses. Lord, I don't want to be away from your presence. I desire to see your glory. David said, please, Lord, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David needed a new beginning. And I don't know about you, beloved, but I need a new beginning today in my Christian life. I want to know God in a deeper, more closer, more intimate way this morning, today, tomorrow, this week. I want to feel His presence, that He walks with me and He talks with me. I need God. And David, just like you and I, needed a new beginning. And you may not have fallen into some grotesque, deep sin, but your joy may be gone. The Christian life may be nothing more than just motions right now for you. Because we all, if you're like me, you fall into those ruts sometimes. And just like David, maybe you need a new beginning today. Maybe there is some sin that you're right on the edge of falling into, just like David, because you're not keeping yourself and protecting yourself. And maybe you're one decision away from falling into some lust, to falling into some sin, to stealing, to whatever, embezzling from your job, I don't know what it is, cheating on a spouse. But maybe you need a new beginning. And a new beginning, it begins with God. David went to God. He didn't bypass God, he went directly to God and said, "Have mercy on me, O God." According, how is God going to have mercy on him? According to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercies, blot out my sin. He goes to God. And a new beginning in your life and in my life has to begin with God. It can't begin with us, anything that we can do. It has to begin with God, God Almighty. And that's where David goes. He goes directly to God and he pleads his mercy. You see time and time again in the Psalms, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Have mercy upon me." And I cry out, and as I think of our younger generation, "Lord, please have mercy upon our younger generation. Don't give them what they deserve." That's what mercy is. Us not getting what we deserve. David, under the law, should have been stoned to death for murder and for adultery. Had the law been carried out, he should have been stoned to death. But he was not. God had mercy on him. And you can think of mercy as a prayer for judgment in the courts in North Carolina. You can go and plead for the prayer for judgment, and the crime that you've committed will be overlooked in a sense. The judge will have mercy. The court system will have mercy on you. That is what mercy is. And God, David is pleading for God to please be merciful. And God was, because he should have been stoned to death. And God has been merciful unto us. And he pleads that according to his loving kindness is what he says in verse 1. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God." How are you going to have mercy? It's according to thy loving kindness. It's according to God's love that we can have mercy. It's all about his love. God is a God of wrath, and I never want to deny that because we see that throughout the Word of God. But he's also a God of love that desires to bring us in, to desires to be our refuge. And a refuge to me is someone that I run to for protection, someone I run to stand by his side that's going to wrap his arms around me and carry me under his wings. God is our refuge, and he is David's refuge here. So it begins with God. We must come to him. That's where David went to. But also to have a new beginning in life, it begins with acknowledging sin. In verse 2, David says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Notice how specific he is. He doesn't say "from my sins." He says, "Cleanse me from my sin." He was being very specific with the Lord here. In verse 3, he says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." And to acknowledge means that you know, you own it. And I think there's a great difference in acknowledging and confessing. I can acknowledge many things in my life and not do anything with them. It's the difference between remorse and repentance. Remorse says, "Yes, I lied. I shouldn't have done that." And you go on about your business. Repentance says, "I lied. God, I lied. Please forgive me. Help me. Shed your mercy upon me." There's a great difference in acknowledging. I'm very guilty in my Christian life of acknowledging where I'm wrong, where I've fallen short, where I've sinned. I see it. I know it because it lines up with God's Word. But I'm very guilty of not carrying it the next step. There is another step that I must carry it. And that is to confession. But David acknowledged his sin before God. He had gone a whole year. And when God pointed it out, David could have made two decisions. David could have acknowledged it and went on. Went about the rest of his life. And you know, it probably would have been summed up, not as a man after God's own heart. We probably would have saw David's life summed up much similar to Solomon's life. But David did something about it. David, his heart desired God. There was such a yearning, a desire for God Almighty. He said, I must get this right. The bones which thou hast broken, please allow them to rejoice again. Those bones that are broken, they're hurting me. And I acknowledge my sin before thee, God. And he calls it out, three words for sin, transgressions, iniquity, sin. He calls sin for what it is. He takes possession of it. He doesn't just justify it. And that conviction that God had there, he says, it is ever before me. You know, God points things out to my life, in my life, that are ever before me. And you know, you hear the term mentioned many times, the besetting sin, and that is a Bible term. And I think sometimes I will speak of myself, I'm very guilty. And you may or may not be like me, but you say, Lord, that's just my besetting sin. It's just who I am. And you begin just to justify it. You begin to overlook it. And then something else becomes that besetting sin. And you begin to justify it. And you begin to overlook it. And then as you get a little bit further down, you begin to look back and say, oh God, how did I get here? How did I ever make this decision? I said 3, 4, 10 years ago, I would never do that. David said in his heart, you know, I will never murder someone. I will never commit adultery. But David, we see that little chain as he went down until he finally fell in to the situation he was in. And beloved, it was up to him and it is up to you and I what we will do with that. David acknowledged it. And that brings us lastly into David confessed his sin. It begins with God. It begins with us acknowledging what the problem is. And it, like I said before, it may not be murder. It may not be adultery. But there's lots of sin of pride, of lust, rebellion, of greed. I mean, I can go on and on, but the great thing is the Holy Spirit will point it out. Whatever it is in my life, the Holy Spirit will point to it. And I have that choice of what to do with it. And lastly, David confessed it. He got specific. He said in verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgression, my sin. He possessed it, my sin. He said, it is mine. God, I did it. You know, as Adam was there, he said, Eve made me eat it. It was her fault. And then she said, well, the serpent beguiled me. Everybody always passes blame. And I can say, well, my wife, it was her fault. Well, you know, it was such and such co-worker's fault. You know, he shouldn't have said that before me. He shouldn't have brought this up. She shouldn't have brought that up. David said, no, it is mine. I did it. I sinned against who? He didn't say, I sinned against my family. He didn't say, oh, I sinned against Bathsheba. Oh, I sinned against Uriah. He said, against thee only have I sinned. He said, God Almighty, it is against thee and thee only that I have sinned and done this great wickedness in thy sight. He confesses. And 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He is writing to Christians, to believers in the faith. We understand that Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all iniquity. We are washed. We are redeemed by his blood. But I understand what sin does in my life. Picture Adam and Eve there in the garden. God has given them clear instructions not to partake of that fruit, not to eat of that fruit. You can do anything else. They decide to do it. And what do? They hide. They run from God. God never left. And what sin will do in our lives is make us run. God never moves. And I begin to understand that it is always me that runs. It's me that breaks the fellowship. It is me because what I've done, the presence of God is going to be separated because of what I've done. But he says, if you shall confess your sins, and confess means to say the same thing. It means to be specific. If you lie, you say, God, I lied. God, I cheated. God, I wasn't honest on that test in school. God, whatever it is, you confess, you call it out to God, and you get it right. Because that's what David did. He was specific. He owned up to it. Because it's very easy, beloved, to go through life and justify. Pass it off To acknowledge it, but not to confess it. To be remorseful, but not be repentant. But David was repentant. He confessed it to God. You know, beloved, God has already seen our actions. Look with me quickly in Psalm 139, if you will, please. Just turn over to Psalm 139. And again, this is a psalm of David. You know, God knew Adam and Eve what had happened as they began to walk through the garden that day. He began to call out to them, Adam, where are you at? Eve, where are you at? Why are you hiding? Why have you tried to cover yourself up? See, same thing David did. He tried to cover up that sin of adultery. They tried to cover up that sin of disobedience to God, that rebellion to God. They tried to cover themselves up. Look within Psalm 139, verse 1. It says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path. You're everywhere. You're all around me. Am I lying down, whether I'm awake or asleep? And You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? David's saying, where can I hide from God? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, if I could just fly away from this decision, if I could just get as far away from what I've done, You wouldn't be there, right? Wrong, God, You are there. Even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand hold me. And I love it, he sums that up. Because I try to place David in the context here of Psalm 51. You know, he tried to run for that year. He tried to flee. But remember, his bones were broken. It was ever before me, he cried out. My sin is ever before me. And he says there at the end, even there shall Thy hand lead me. Even in that situation that I put myself, God, You never forsook me. Though I failed You, God, though I had gone against Your holy law and done the worst thing in my eyes, I murdered, I committed adultery, I lied, I deceived, and this great people are looking at me as a leader of all people to do this, the king of all people to do this. It would be the pastor, someone who is leading, the boss at the job that is leading many people who are looking to them. But God, David said, God, You never left me. You were with me the whole time. And beloved, God is with you. No matter what decision, no matter what mistake you've made in life, and it may be something from 5 years ago, and you say, God, I'm unusable. I can't serve You because of this decision. That's not the way God works. If you will get it right with God, you will acknowledge it, you will confess it, you have a new beginning. The Christian life is a life of new beginnings. You can begin anew with God. Now, there were consequences to David's actions. The sword would go through his family fourfold, and we see that through his children. But David still came out in the end as a new man. He got his life right. He fixed it up. He repaired the brokenness and moved on. Paul said, look, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I can get so stuck in my past. All these things that I've done wrong. But he says, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God. And beloved, don't live in your past. It's taken me 13, 15 years to get some things right from my past. But I've been able, slowly with God's help, to set these things right. God can help you. You can have a new beginning with God. And that's what David did. God never moves, beloved. He's always there. David says that. Even there shall Thy hand lead me. Through the darkest, hardest time, if you'll just look to Him. And our problem is we run away because of what we've done. It pushes us like two magnets on the wrong ends trying to push against each other. They never will fit together. And our sin and our life, unconfessed, does that with God. He never moves, but we push ourselves away. God help us to have a new beginning in our Christian life. How long has it been for you since you've had a new beginning? Has it been a week, a year, 10 years? Are you still wrestling with something from long ago? Allow God to help you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. You don't have to turn there, but it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Think about that. Take heed lest you fall. You think you're okay. David thought he was okay for that whole entire year. Take heed lest you fall. And God help us for that fall to be for the rest of our lives. You know, God used Moses at 80 years old. You may say, "I'm 60, I'm 70. There's not anything I can do for the Lord." I don't believe that. I see God using Moses more miraculous than anything else, 80 years plus, leading a whole nation. I mean, he got to see God's glory. He had a revival in his soul, in his heart. I can think of many other people. Paul is a missionary. He had to be up in years, traveling across all these countries, trying to get the gospel out. Take heed lest you fall. And let's close with Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. And let that be our prayer today. I have no idea why God wanted me to preach this message. When you preach about sin, it's not something a preacher likes to do, because it hurts me. It makes me look at my life, because heaven forbid I say something to you that I've not applied and I've not searched myself eagerly and diligently. But as I prefaced everything to begin with, it all comes back to revival. We need revival in our country. I need revival in my own heart. Do we wash our hands and say, "Oh, America, the great America is too far gone"? We have another day. We still have a job to do. "Oh, America's just going to be like Europe. 2% are lucky if they even show up in a Protestant church on Sunday." America doesn't have to be like that. America is gospel hardened because many times we are prayer hardened, and many times we are hardened to God and what He is showing us in our life. But I just want to keep it right back around to revival. And I'm excited that men are getting together and praying. As I read about revival and study about it, I see many times it is one, two, or even three people. It doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you're 15 or you're 18 or you're 20 or you're 85. It begins with a couple people meeting together for prayer. And I don't want anything, beloved, in my life to interfere with what God could do here in our church, here in our campus ministry, here in Boone and Vilas. Because there's something in my heart that God has pointed out, and I just keep on acknowledging it. I keep on being remorseful about it, but I don't do anything about it. I say, "God, it's just my besetting sin. It's who I am. Oh, well, get used to it, God." Because when we say that about our besetting sin, that's what we're saying. We're saying, "God, you made me this way. Oh, well, you don't have enough power to give me victory because I keep repeating it. It's my besetting sin. I keep falling into it." No, God can give you the victory and God can give you the power. He can release you from whatever it is. In Psalm 139, 23 and 24, it says, "Search me, O God. Search me. Shine that light in my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me." And then I like what he says at the end. "And lead me in the way everlasting." God, lead me always. Your hand was there, is what David said. You held me. You guided me. Lead me in the way everlasting. God, please don't ever stop speaking to me. Please don't ever stop guiding and convicting me. If you'll bow your heads with me, we'll close with a word of prayer, and I'll let the pastor close as he sees fit.